Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, suppose you had just begun riding on a long journey that would take you from Israel southward through Egypt and then further south, deeper into Africa. It's about a 2,000-mile trip, roughly the distance between Parkersburg and San Francisco. You're riding in a chariot pulled by a horse, so you know you've got a long ride ahead of you. And you have a driver, so you don't need to focus on the horse or the road. So how would you pass the time? There are no wireless data networks, no way to charge a phone or a tablet. So how would you spend your time? Well, in this morning's reading from Acts, we hear about a man in exactly that situation, a man traveling by chariot from Jerusalem to Ethiopia. And we also hear about how he chose to use his time on the road. He chose well. He chose to spend that time reading God's word. As we're told in Acts, the man in the chariot was an Ethiopian eunuch who was an important official in charge of the treasury of the queen of Ethiopia. The Jewish faith had long had a presence in Ethiopia, and we can see that this official was one of the Ethiopians who had come to believe in the Lord, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. In fact, we're told the reason he had made the trip to Jerusalem in the first place was so that he could worship there in the temple. And now, at the time of our reading, he's about 70 miles into his return trip, and he's using that time to read God's word. More specifically, we're told that he's reading from Isaiah, very possibly on a scroll that he just bought in Jerusalem to take back home with him. And as he rides and reads, making good use of his time, we see in our reading that the Lord himself is also making special use of this time. Through an angel, the Lord sent the evangelist Philip to the road where the Ethiopian eunuch was traveling. And once he was there, the Holy Spirit instructed Philip to go and walk alongside that chariot. Philip did, and there he heard the eunuch reading aloud from Isaiah. And Philip probably couldn't have been happier to hear exactly which part of Isaiah the man was reading from, because it gave Philip the ideal opening to share the gospel with him. We learn from our reading in Acts that the Ethiopian official was reading from the 53rd chapter of Isaiah, which is one of the clearest, most striking, and profound Old Testament prophecies about the promised Savior and about what that Savior would go through in order to save us. So, walking alongside the chariot, Philip heard the man reading from Isaiah about a faithful servant of the Lord who would be led like a lamb to slaughter and who would go quietly and meekly as his life was taken from him. That same chapter of Isaiah also says a great deal more about this peaceful, suffering servant, telling us that he would be despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows, familiar with suffering, that he would take up our infirmities and carry our sorrows for us, that he would be pierced for our transgressions, would be crushed for our iniquities, that by his wounds we would be healed, and also that after all of his suffering, after his life had been taken from him, he would yet see the light of life, and through him many would be justified. It was essentially the holy gospel according to Saint Isaiah. And God used Philip to explain the good news of that gospel to the Ethiopian eunuch, showing him how all those promises spoken centuries earlier by the prophet Isaiah had now been fulfilled in Jesus Christ, in his suffering and dying for our sins, and in his rising from the dead to give us forgiveness and life everlasting. Through God's word and through Philip as a witness for Christ and a teacher of the word, the gospel came to the Ethiopian eunuch on the road that day. By God's grace, he believed and was baptized. He was saved, which was exactly what God had set out to do that day. In what God did for the Ethiopian eunuch that day, we see a picture of what God is doing for people throughout the world every day. Here we see an indication of what God's priorities are, and we see him putting those priorities into practice. Here we see that God chooses to use this time, the time of grace that we have been given, to always be working for our good, as he works daily through the power of his word to bring salvation to men, women, and children throughout this creation. And we also see that he graciously calls us to join him in that mission, as we see here that it is through his people that the Lord sends out his saving word. Centuries before Christ, God sent his word out through Isaiah and the other prophets, so that people could know and trust in the good news of a promised Savior. In the fullness of time, God fulfilled those promises by sending his Son, Jesus Christ, to be that Savior whom he had promised. And ever since then, God has been working through his people, the Holy Christian Church, to bring people everywhere the good news of free salvation in Jesus Christ. Around 37 AD, God worked through Philip to share that good news with an Ethiopian eunuch on a road near Gaza in Israel. Outside of the Bible, early Christians wrote that God then used that Ethiopian eunuch to bring the gospel to Ethiopia and establish the Christian church there, a church that has continued ever since then. And since that time, God has been using people of all backgrounds, in all places, to share and teach his saving word, including the different people whom God has used in each of our lives to bring his word to us. He sends his word out through pastors and lay people, publicly and privately. He sends his word out through men and women, young and old. He sends his word out in places like Ethiopia, where Islam is a serious challenge, but where Christianity is also growing very rapidly, and in places like West Virginia and Ohio, even in places like our own homes. He does it for people like you and me, and he does it through people like you and me. Now, it's true that our experiences are not exactly like those of the Ethiopian eunuch, but they're also not as different as it might at first seem to us. Most of us will never travel from Jerusalem to Ethiopia, certainly not by chariot. But each of us is on a journey through this life and into the next. And God might not use angel messengers to guide witnesses directly to us, like he did when an angel told Philip to go alongside the eunuch's chariot to witness to him. But God does work in a variety of ways to bring his gospel to each one of us personally, from parents and grandparents to friends to Sunday school teachers and pastors. God has brought people into our lives for the express purpose of bringing Christ to us and bringing us to Christ. Now, unlike the Ethiopian eunuch sitting in his chariot, we have almost unlimited options for how to spend our time while we're on this journey. And if we were to be honest, I think we'd all have to admit that we don't always make the best choices, and often do let ourselves get distracted from what matters most, God and his word. But thankfully, God is not so easily distracted, and God is not deterred. But he continues to keep us and our salvation as his highest priority. For the God who worked to bring the gospel to the Ethiopian eunuch almost 2,000 years ago is just as dedicated to bringing his saving gospel to us today. And so God, in his grace, continues giving us his saving word. Once he had brought salvation to the Ethiopian eunuch that day, the Lord then took Philip away to serve him elsewhere, and we're told that the eunuch went on his way rejoicing. But he did not go empty-handed. He took God's word with him. And by the power of that word, the same gracious God who had engrafted him into the true vine, Jesus Christ, would also keep him united to that vine. And so the Lord continues to do today, both for us and for our fellow believers throughout the world. By the power of his word, God continues to draw more people to himself. And by the power of that same word, he works to strengthen and preserve us in the one true faith and to life everlasting. And in this way, he gives us everything that we need for our journey. So as you journey on, do take time to hear and to ponder what the Lord is saying to you in his word and what he is doing for you. Abide in him, trusting in his promise that he will abide in you. And may you have joy in your journey with him. Amen. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.